Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams. We 103.7 The Beat. We What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and financial success.
All right, Chauncey. We have turned the corner into September.
Okay, we're here. We're here.
And with September comes football. And we had a great weekend for football, college and high school.
Yes, we did.
You know, Muskegon came out on the short end of the stick.
That game, man, was amazing.
It was a great football team we played. I can't take nothing away from them. I mean, think about this. That school is four times as large as Muskegon.
And then think about how they get their kids, too. They probably got the right to recruit their kids or raise them or farm raise them from when they were kindergarten because they're in that type of district.
Man, look here. They said teachers want to go to that district. Okay, so that means they can attract the best talent as far as teachers and as well as players because parents want their kids to go to that district. It's the district where you want your child to be. Largest school district in the state of Illinois. That's incredible, man.
They got that money.
They got money.
Yeah, they got money.
And they showed up. They brought numbers. It's been a long time since I've seen a football team with those kind of numbers. They platoon on everything.
Yeah, their parents came.
Yeah.
I've seen the kind of cars they came in, too.
Oh, yeah.
The Porsches, the Range Rovers, Corvettes. I'm like, you drove a Corvette from Chicago?
Right. And it wasn't eight or nine in a car either. Yeah.
Two of y'all came.
Along with luxury buses.
Yes, right.
That
luxury
they brought
buses.
The players in.
They
but,
came.
I'm proud of them Reds, man. They showed up.
And then my pregame meal, the GB BBQ barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Pregame meal.
Man, my man is, every time he had a tailgate, I'm going to
be there. Well, let's give him a plug because every home game.
I don't know what he put in the barbecue sauces he got. I told him he got to have a beef rib next time, but the chicken was great. And they had the pulled pork. I don't eat the pork, but I seen them brothers eating that up. So
I heard it was good. I didn't eat any either, but I heard it was good.
Man, I had that chicken and that cornbread. They got them diamonds in it.
Okay.
I'm like, what do you mean by cornbread with diamonds in it? GBQ barbecue.
Okay, well, let's support that brother, man.
Yes. I mean, look, I'm just going to keep on going down the menu. Coleslaw like I never tasted before. Mm-hmm. Coleslaw tastes like festival from like a Jamaica. He had the raisins, pineapple in the coleslaw.
And a medley.
Oh, oranges, little tangerines.
Okay.
Man, we talking about fruit medley in the coleslaw. I want PA.
Brother making a statement, man.
I ate my fingers. I thought I had to eat one of my fingers. That food would be good. That brother, I'm going to have to get a hold of him for something. Yeah,
well,
some kind of event.
Not this Friday, but the following Friday, he'll be there.
Yep. Every home game.
Go over there and support the brother.
That's a doubleheader right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get you a meal and then go enjoy some football.
That's right. Then we had Michigan State played, and Florida State and Notre Dame, wasn't it?
No, that was Texas.
Texas, okay. Yep.
Texas.
Yes.
Which was a great, great football game, man. It was the best football game of the weekend, in my opinion. Yep. From a competitive standpoint, it was like two overtimes.
Yeah. And then Wisconsin beat LSU.
Wisconsin beat LSU.
Big Ten looking strong.
Alabama put a whooping on USC.
Michael Jordan gave him some shoes, though.
Was that what it was?
He gave USC some Jordans.
Oh, wow.
So they can jump right up out of the stadium. And it was. I saw the pregame when they came out the tunnel. It was like crawling on the ground. Like they about to really do something.
They just monster.
Man, USC got ran up in. Crawl up out the stadium.
It's like, man, when you pick up, because Michigan played them one year out the gate like that, and they demolished them. You don't ever want to play that team the first game of the year for some reason. You want
Hollywood
to catch them
boys.
Late.
Yeah. You don't want to play that. Yeah. You know, USC finesse team. They're not ready for that.
Yeah, they're not big and physical. I mean,
I know something about Alabama. You know, Nick Saban was at Michigan State when I was there as a student.
Right.
So I already know what he bring. He bringing that factor of certain athletes that supposed to be in the NFL.
Okay.
Like that running back he had that was throwing bodies. He threw that lineman.
Yeah.
So last year, one of our Michigan State boys, I was like, he got him. He ran at him. He picked him up with his arm and threw him. I was like, he threw a 260-pound man.
Get out the way. He got him, man. I don't know where he get him from.
He made him do a front flip. I say, Alabama for real. Ain't nobody going to beat no Alabama.
No. They seem to have that one mental lapse of the year.
Yeah.
You know, they lose that one game. And then I think they get bored.
Yeah, they get bored.
You know, and then they lose that game. They get re-energized. And then they just wipe out everybody.
Yeah. They just.
So this year is shaping up to be another great year for college football because I love college football, high school football.
That's
and
right.
I watch the pros just because they're the best of the best.
That's right.
But
yes.
As far as pure entertainment for kids that love for the love of the game, it's high school, then it's college, then it's the pros. But yeah, man. So that says that we are also starting back to school, which means it's an opportunity for us to kind of get acclimated back to, you know, financial planning, getting our credit scores right, kind of what the show is themed for. So I think we're going to kick off the fall show, getting
That's
back
right.
to the basics.
That's it. We got some examples of reflections of financial origins. Where did you get that mindset from about your finances? So I'm going to read two of them. I have two
good,
of them today.
Very good.
So where you get that kind of thinking from? You know, like a lot of times.
It just don't happen.
You can go to school to be a teacher. You can learn how to play a sport. Somebody actually coach you or you hear a conversation of becoming this person that you are today through the relationships and conversations. So I'm going to read these two examples. And I got some surveys for the audience today to see where you fall at in your perspective, and we can try to answer these
just
questions.
Just be honest with yourself.
Yeah,
you
I had to have this conversation with myself. I had this did this survey a couple years ago. First example says, my father was a good provider. Financially speaking, unfortunately, he wasn't at home as much as I would like him to be because he was constantly working. I regret not having more time with him while I was growing up. I don't know whether he worked to better provide for the family or because he felt he had to. Or maybe he was just a workaholic. He grew up in a very poor family. He never felt we were saving enough. That's the first example.
Okay.
So like he that daddy that's chasing something, trying to get his kids and provide things, but he's not there for the QT, the quality time.
Right. Yeah.
So here's the next example. Now this the one of them is a father, the other one was a mother. Now picture these two being married. I'm thinking about a sermon. I'm like, God, I'm gonna hit you with this
I'm
in
sure
a second. But listen.
Some biblical principles involved in this.
My mother would like to spend more money than she does. However, my father keeps a tight grip on the purse strings in our family. I remember a few occasions when mother bought a new dress or a pair of shoes and she hid them from my daddy in back of the trunk of the car. She'd tell me by the time I wear them, dad won't realize that they are new. And my father may have been too much of a hoarder. When he was growing up, his family was broke. I know he didn't want that for us.
Okay.
So now, the conversation here in this relationship is, what happens when a man meets a woman that ain't used to hearing no? When a man that can't say no has a woman that ain't used to hearing no?
I see it, Chauncey. It's not good. It is not a good relationship. It's not a good fit because it's like the, it's the uneven yoke, man. And that can cause a lot of problems in a relationship.
You can because you got to have that common bond and think like, you're not going to be had no shoes. You can't buy this. You can't buy that. You can't do this.
No.
Everything is a conversation.
Yeah. It's probably not a good for the relationship for her son to see that as well, you know, that dad provides for us. And I don't see a problem with a woman buying a dress once in a while, a pair of shoes, you know, especially if she go to church. You want to look respectable.
But not 50.
Right. Well.
Or like certain women I've known in the past have had like five of the same pumps, same brand.
And go every week. It's like Saturday is the day they go shopping, whether they need to or not. Not good for a relationship.
Yeah, it's not good. You could be at the gym. I know we spend money on the membership. So I'm like, you better go here. I can't really tell her where to go, but I think she understands that it's a purpose and a reason. Like the other day, example from my own household, the other day I was thinking about buying some new furniture. My wife's like, don't do that. Like, you can put that towards something else. We don't need no new furniture. Like, nobody coming over here.
Yeah.
Say you ain't about impressing nobody. So you been sleeping on that when you get in trouble anyway. So you might as well sleep.
don't mess up a new one.
You in trouble anyway. You gonna mess up with no new couch. Keep on sleeping on the old one.
Working just fine.
And save that money or get that money to the church. She say, sow a seed that God will open this territory where you want to be in this house. My wife told me that this morning.
Man, that's great.
It was early. I left the house like at about 5 o'clock. I was like, "Yeah, I'm thinking about buying a couch or something." She was like, "For what?" Mm-hmm. She was like, "You better off giving that to the church and praying that God open the territory so you can get this house that you want to live off this lake." So you're gonna need favor like that. Say, what are you gonna do? Look at a new couch or be like, "Look what God done."
Good sound advice, man.
And that was her. That's her with sleep in her eye this morning.
Okay. She still had those.
She had some sense.
She had that sense, man. And, me and my wife had these conversations about biblical financial principles. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And she the same way. You know, and she shops, but, you know, she always tell me, you know, I'm shopping. It's on sale.
That's right.
Okay? She times it.
And it's a certain amount that's disposable. Like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the examples you're talking about, and I can see myself fitting in that example about that guy that works and provides for his family, but yet I did take time to, you know, take that family vacation 2 to 3 times a year. Always supported my kids and what they did in school.
You budgeted for that though.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. It was never a hardship for us to do those things. And as they have grown up to be adults, I watch how they manage their money, how they manage their time. And I have to say it was the example that I set. Okay, you don't have to be extravagant. You don't have to be flashy. But you do need to work. You need to save your money. And you need to have some enjoyment out of your fruits of your labor. But within reason. So, I can definitely appreciate those examples you gave us today.
Okay. Now, what I have right now is attitudes about money. This quiz. I took this quiz a couple years ago to just help me think about who I was as a financial person. So I brought this in today. The first one is, say, check if you do, nay if you don't. Mm. So this is for the audience. So you can get a pencil, a piece of paper, and just listen up. And we're going to talk about these. I hate to open the mail because all I ever receive is bills. So you dread going to the mailbox.
Okay. That's what some of those mailboxes I see with the mail just running all out of them. Yeah. Like they have to stuff them in. Those probably some of those.
Oh, you got that drawer at home. That's a drawer at home. That's not a file cabinet, but it's a drawer that's supposed to be spoons or silvers in it, but it's old mail in there for bills. Yeah. Then it says the next one. I'll never have enough money.
And then you ask the question, how much is enough?
How much is enough? Now, you know what stops that? This is what stops that. To me, it's like, it's not crazy that we're talking about biblical principles, but I did ask the Lord to speak to me this morning, and it say, I'll never have enough money. I should think like that. But when I figured out, when I got to the point when I got enough, I became a fool. Mm. So what I started doing, I said, I'm just going to tithe and just make sure God give me favor and grace. Mm-hmm. So like, if it costs this much, it ain't going to cost that much for me. If I need it, God to supply it, because I've been a good servant of what he gave me.
Okay.
So I look at tithing, it's like, I don't got to, I get to. I got an able body, eyes, arms, and legs, and a job that I can provide for my family that I should give. I get to do it. Because I remember a time when the well was dry.
Oh, man.
I ain't had no bucket. Or the rope wasn't long enough when I had the bucket. I know how that feels. So, like, I can't be like, oh, I got this check now. I was tithing when the check was $100. But not a check $2,000, I don't want to do that one. Pick and choose when I'm going to do it. Mm-mm. No. I serve a God that's abundant.
Okay.
So once I sow that seed off that $2,000, I'm going to sow it like it was $20. Mm-hmm. I'm hitting them numbers.
That's it.
Because that's the way it's supposed to go. Because it's like he said, I'll never have enough. That's how the people live in life that live in life where they hoarding things. They got to have everything because they think they don't have enough. That's like their image is not enough.
And then they overextend themselves too. When you get into that mindset, is how much is enough? Well, if you don't have enough income, but yet you choose to live a lifestyle that your income does not provide.
That's it. That's another thing.
Now you run into trouble.
When I'm feeling down the board, I go shopping. You mentioned that one. Don't do that, please. Alert, no. Alert, 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 alert. Don't do it.
Go for a walk.
Go to the gym. Go to the Y. Go work out. Go for a jog.
Go visit somebody.
Yeah, go visit somebody. Don't do that. My spouse, my partner, my kids spend money faster than I can bring it in.
That should never happen. because it's like one of the examples you gave, who control the purse strings? Okay, you don't want to deprive them of having a place, a roof, clothes, food, you know, shelter, but yet somebody needs to be in charge financially of the household. And when that happens, that tells me that the breadwinner is not in charge of the household finances.
Okay. If I have cash in my wallet or purse, I'll spend it. That's if you got that budget set up, which you got like, all right, I only got this $20 I got these $20. I got this $50 today. Or $50 is too much to spend in a day anyway. I don't know what you're doing on $50, spending $50.
Unless you got a project you're working on.
Yeah. You know? If I got gas money and I got something to eat for the day, I might spend no more than $10.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good amount to spend when you just got nothing to do that day.
Yeah. If I'm just like, all right, I'm going to go get this sandwich. I can do this. I can do that. But I'm not going to do it. How can I save for retirement when I can barely make ends meet? Now, what I'm basically telling you, figure a way out. Because it's like you said, you talked about this a couple months ago, and I'm getting ready to start the other one up with you. I'm going to have multiple ones. But not having one at all is crazy. But you know what that is? That goes back to when you said budgets.
Right.
You telling me you can't find $25 a week?
Oh, yes, you can. Oh, it's there. If you work every day, 40 hours a week, and you make $10 an hour, if you take a look at how you spend your money, trust me.
It's $25 a week.
It's 25 bucks there, man. 25 bucks is there.
And that's how easy you can start it.
Mm-hmm.
That's as low as you can start it. So it just make you think like you probably just don't want to.
Yeah, take a look at, you know, the list where we talk about needs and wants.
Yeah, needs and wants. Here's the next one. I can't or won't be able to help my kids pay for college. And I see this a lot. I see this with kids where sometimes some parents feel like the scholarship is the only way, the academic or athletic scholarship. It's not. It's these funds like you talked about when a kid is first born, you can pick a whole life policy up for what? It's like $20 a month?
$20 a month, man.
And then when they 18, it's worth, it could be $75,000, $100,000.
That's right.
I'll take that.
You spent the last 18 years investing.
I told you I'm trying to be the goddaddy of somebody. Okay. Somebody from the audience call in. You just had a baby. That's like a month or something. Or how old they got to be?
2 weeks.
All right, two weeks. If you got a newborn 2 weeks, call Uncle Chance. Call the goddaddy.
Handle that.
I got you.
Fix him up.
We'll split it when he's 18. When he get 18, I'll buy him a new car. I'm dead serious. Call me, inbox me. We'll start the whole life. We'll go right to Tony's office. Okay. And your son will get a new car when he's 18.
That's how we do it.
I'm trying to be the goddaddy.
That's how we do it.
Like they said in life, I'm the pappy. I'll be the guy.
I'm the pappy. I'm the pappy.
I'm dead serious with the audience. Okay. I would do that for somebody because I've seen it work for several of my clients.
Oh yeah, it is. It definitely works, Chauncey.
I've seen in the last 5 years. I've seen six people do it. Their kids graduated from high school, new car, buy them a house. I'm like, hey, where that money come from?
Been saving.
Man, he turned 18, Chauncey. Yeah. I like that's where they come from in the sky. He's like, no, I got this insurance policy on him.
Or you can purchase what they call the Uniform Gift to Minors Act. Okay, and this money cannot be touched. And again, they can be, you know, 2 weeks old. You start this program, and you can put away $20-$25 a week, a month, and when nobody can touch this money until they become 18 years old. So at that point, when they become 18, they have a great nest egg. If they want to purchase a car to go to college, if they want to help pay for their college, they can do that. But the key term is help pay for their college. Okay, you should not be, if you can afford it, then pay for your child's education. But there's nothing wrong with having them have some skin in the game. To say that I am going to pay for part of my college, my parents will help me, and that way I feel that I really need to work hard. Because I don't want this to go to waste. So help them pay for college.
It says in the event of a financial emergency, I don't know how could I come up with the money. That's that not having a nest egg.
Having that rainy day fund.
Man, rainy day fund. And then
$20 a week you're talking about.
And then they talk about trying to have 3 months put up. And then but in the day and age we live in now, it's depending on your income and your bills, it can be stretching depending on what you put yourself in. it could be stretching because, like, the way the standard of living is going up.
Yeah, and a lot of folks, because they haven't saved any money, is like potentially 3 months away from bankruptcy.
Yeah, 3 months. So it's just to make you stuff you think like it's not worth it. It goes on and says, my employer has a retirement plan, but I'm not participating in it because I can't afford to. We talked about that, saving for retirement.
You're crazy if you don't.
You're crazy if you don't. If I see something I want, I buy it, even if I have to use credit. Oh, that's death.
Wants and needs again. He didn't say he needed it. He said it was something he wanted. No, you got to need it. And then back to the pension plan for those companies that do offer some sort of a retirement plan, 9 times out of 10, they're going to match whatever you put into the retirement plan, be it a 401k, an IRA plan, and that's free money. And if you don't max out and participate in that, you are cheating yourself out of retirement earnings when you get old enough to retire. It is a no-brainer. You leave your money on the table. If they match it, go to your HR department, ask them about the retirement plan, and make sure you are contributing the max so you will get the maximum amount of contributions from the employer.
Okay. So that is the max. We had a guy walking through our building today talking about, I think it's $18,000 we could do.
Yeah, 403B.
I wish I could put $18,000 away.
Yeah. You know, and I have had some teachers call me on this, Chauncey. And
I would love to do that.
My recommendation is in the 403B, it's deferred savings. They take the money out and invest it before taxes.
Okay.
It's no different than you setting up a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA. You just take it out before you see it. For some people, that probably works. But if they're not matching you, okay, if the system says if you put in 10%, we're going to match you 5%, that's the incentive of deferred savings. If you don't get the match, there's really no real benefit in a 403 plan other than the fact that there's going to be a whole bunch of additional fees that's tied to it versus you setting up your own individual retirement plan, be it a Roth or a traditional IRA.
Mm. That's good information. The next one says, I'm not out of money until I'm out of credit.
Oh, hey, dude, man. He's going to blow up all his credit cards.
Well, that's...
And that's kind of what we wanted to get to today is this credit score.
Here you go, right here. Here you go. I got to quote my boy John Hope Bryant. This is the rental car theme.
That's what it is.
That's what he called it. He called it the rental car theme because every weekend my man got to have a rental car. What did he use it for the rental car? A credit card, right?
Right.
Does he have a job or is he a street hustler? What is he? Why is he washing the rental car?
Should never wash the rental car.
Wash,
they wash it for you.
They at the car wash. They take it to the detail shop.
Man, that's a bad situation right there. This guy's man. He for what he paying? That's a car note on a decent car. Like on a weekend rate.
I'm gonna go take this to the detail shop and get this mug detailed right quick. I'm gonna be looking sweet. Right,
you can ride around in a rental car. And then there's somebody seeing that. Well, what that car you had last week, man?
You washing that car. You washing the rental car. You would have stopped that. Mm. Shame on you. Mm. Shame. Mm-mm-mm. I will postpone making the purchase if I don't have the cash right now.
Good. Very good. Save up. Save up for it. Why not? It's the wants and the needs again.
Yep, save up for it. I use a list when I shop, and I only buy those items on my list.
That is great information. Make that list out before you leave home. Go through your cupboards, find out what you need. The worst thing to do is to go to the store without a list. Because you're going to buy things you don't need.
Because it was a lady. She said, I was only going to spend $15. She's going to spend $150. And what they do, this is what they do. The shelf items that you really need, like some tissue, some toothpaste, certain things, they set up in certain superstores.
Oh, in the back of the store.
Yeah, the TV might be right next to the toothpaste. What's this TV doing next to this toothpaste?
You
got to
walk through the store past all these other display aisles that's working on your psyche and saying, like, Buy me.
What's this diamond ring doing next to this banana? Right. I mean, but that's absurd, but it's kind of like that.
Oh, trust me. There's a science.
I need a broom. Marketing, man. I need a broom. You got like, yeah, the broom all the way in the back.
All the way in the back. The milk, the eggs, all your staples are in the back. All your junk that you don't need is you got to get through that jungle.
Yeah, when you go to Meijer's, look, when you need some milk, you got to go right to the left corner.
Right. They got it. The furthest point of entry is in the back of the store. It's by design.
It's by the door that the workers can go outside. The milk right there.
That's the break room door, exit door.
It's right there. Then what else? I'm just trying to imagine it. Where is it? Certain planes, like, so the fruit right up in the front.
Yeah, because people don't buy no, you know, they're not going to buy the fruit like they need to.
No, they're not going to do that. They're going to look at that like it's too healthy.
Right.
But then there's certain things that's it's right there. All the jewelry right by the cash register.
All the jewelry, all jewelry counters in front of the store.
That's right.
Okay.
Walmart, everywhere.
Yeah. All the restaurants that, you know, if they got the restaurant, the Subways or McDonald's that's in the stores are always in the front. They want you to go in there and buy that stuff. And you know, the old adage about eating before you go to the grocery store is very true.
It works.
Yeah.
It works, man.
Yeah. If you go hungry, you're going to buy a lot of stuff you don't even need.
You don't. You're right.
Nope. But if you had that budget, you said, okay, we're spending $80 on groceries this week, and we're going to take coupons. And get that 75-cent off, dollar off, 2-for-1, makes a difference.
Listen to this one. It says, my family will be financially okay if something happens to me. I can answer yes with that one.
Okay.
I can answer yes.
Truthfully, answer yes.
I can answer yes truthfully.
If you financially have your ducks in order.
I don't think I can say that on the radio. I'm worth more.
Okay,
I'm worth more dead than alive.
Yeah, and trust me, I know insurance companies take that into consideration.
Yeah.
When they issue policies, they like to know what else is in force. They want to know what your income is.
That's right.
What your spouse's income
is. How many years can they live off of you when you pass away? Can they live 5-10 years sustaining without you?
How young are your children?
Yeah.
Okay. All this stuff comes into factoring whether or not they're going to give you a policy. You go in and say, well, I got $1 million already, and I want another $500. They may decline your policy.
Yeah. You're right. I expect my income to increase enough to allow me to pay off credit card debt in the very near future. Now, that could be a double-edged sword. Because the way this financial market is, because I used to do that. I used to like, all right, I'm going to get this. I'll look for this raise or this business going to do good and don't do good. And you find yourself
overextended.
You're overextended because you overextend your business expenses on your personal expenses.
Okay.
And you can't, they say that it's not a good mix to mix both of those.
No, it's not. You really shouldn't.
So you got the business got to survive like it's a person.
That's right.
By itself.
Yep. And you need to, again, it's managing credit. You just don't spend, you know, or use credit cards for the sake of using them unless there's something you really need because you got to pay it back, right?
Yes, you do.
That's the whole piece about your credit score.
Are you out the loop? You don't pay it back, you out the loop. They take you out the loop.
Yeah, it can be very detrimental.
And then certain places you live in, they won't let you live in certain neighborhoods.
Okay.
You got to have a certain credit score. No, you can't live here. Mm-mm. Like, that's racist. No, it's not. That's financial statistics.
That's it.
They say certain credit score can't be in certain places.
Because they use credit score for everything. You got a low credit score, they don't want the element.
They don't want the element. This is amazing stuff. I feel stress when I think about my financial commitments. Like, it's carrying a burden. Like, you're like, oh, no. Well, Peter to rob Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, you know, somehow, somewhere, those commitments got out of whack. Okay, you purchased a house that you really couldn't afford. You purchased a car that you really couldn't afford.
House poor, car poor.
Yeah, because you wanted to impress somebody, or you just really never used good solid principles when it came to determining what you really could afford. Okay, I purchased like 4 homes, right? And it was like stair steps.
You know, see what you wanted.
First house
up. It was always a down payment for the next one. Like, I got this check.
Absolutely. I built the equity up, fixed the house up. So the down payment, well, the equity paid for the next house. The down payment got me into it. Did the same thing. until it got to the point where I could actually build me one, okay, with no stress.
That's the goal.
But it's a process. You can't just, instant gratification just don't happen.
You don't extend yourself too far.
You got to sacrifice.
I got a $500,000 loan. But no, you don't. Yeah. You crazy.
I don't want a $500,000 loan for nothing.
For nothing. The next one, it says, this one right here for the youngsters, the young upcoming professional. It's for you, young upcoming professional with your college degree. Come out of school or you got a job or you started your own business. I am ashamed of my wardrobe, car, and my home.
And why should you be?
That's something you shouldn't even be concerned about if you're a young entrepreneur. All you need, like a kid asked me today, he said, Mr. Williams, all you do is wear polo shirts. He say, that's all you get? I say, yeah. I say, you know why? Because I can go to the Goodwill and get them and dry clean them. And I say, you won't know the difference. And but you asking me, I got on polo all the time. You don't know what I paid.
Okay.
And I say, I don't even care who or what. Because my basic, the things, my food, clothing, and shelter is taken care of. And I got a woman that love me enough. And if there's God with me, I'm straight on you.
Okay.
But I'm not talking to the kid. I'm telling them that's my mindset now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm straight on all that other stuff. It don't even matter.
Nope. Clean, crisp, and neat. Okay. It's not a fashion statement. It's a personal statement.
Like, I'm trying to get through my day. I'm waking up. My day's coming tonight because I'm trying to change my community. So I don't got time to be laying an outfit out on the bed and say, I'm going to go to school fresh.
Right. What's the best thing out right now? Because that's what I got to have.
I got to have it, please.
Nope. Don't have it.
Don't have it. When you're trying to promote change, you're not thinking about what's on your behind. You thinking how you can get ahead. So you got that's just something that you got to look out for. I know how much money is in my checking account, and that's balancing a checkbook.
Yeah. Which is good. You need to know.
You're right. I save money every month. That's a yes. My parents had to do without. I will not. Oh, that's a no.
No,
I learned a valuable lesson from my mom and them. Boy, you don't deserve that. And now okay. I see what they're talking about. Yeah. Don't need to buy that. Why you got two of the same shoes?
Yeah.
Why you buying all them Air Force Ones?
Personal sacrifice.
Why you buying all them Nikes like that? Oh, they ain't like the new ones. I got to get a new pair.
You wear one at a time.
I'm like, boy, you ain't going to do nothing with that. That's a waste of money.
Mm-hmm. And it was the truth.
It was the truth. I hope to retire by 65 or before.
Please do.
I think I had 30 years and then 53, so I could do that.
55,
I can
go
and so just do something I want to do.
At 55, you want to start looking for a second career.
Yeah, hang out like you. Like just running the business.
And that's what I did.
Drawing up checks.
I started
running the business.
20 years ago, I had a great job. Okay, I was making good money. And I said, it's like 30 years old. And I just want to start a second career. So I started studying and got a company to sponsor me, Edward Jones.
I remember Edward Jones.
Get my securities license. And I stayed where I was at, even though they offered me a full-time job at Edward Jones. I wasn't ready to go full-time.
And they're still over here by Subway right now,
too. There are a number of places around town. Yeah, I was the first black guy in the state in the city of Muskegon, of course, to receive a license for security.
That's historical, man. That's money right there.
I'm saying,
that's Tony talking money, Odie.
55, I'm going to leave
one of the first.
This job that I got that tells me where I got to be and how long I got to be there. I said, I'm not going to do that all my life. I'm going to have a situation where I decide when I got to be there and how long I got to be there. And it just didn't happen. It took time. It took sacrifice. It was many nights that I was up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning studying these manuals that's about 4 inches thick. And then when you go in and take these exams, it's like they pat you down. You can't wear anything in that room.
I've been there before.
Walk around. Yeah.
I took it twice. I took two of them tests twice. I missed the first one by like 3 questions, and I missed it by 2 questions the second time I took it. And I've been picking up other things, but it's time to get back in that fight.
It's serious stuff, man.
I know it's serious. It's look. And I studied long. One summer, I spent almost a whole summer preparing myself. I didn't do nothing else, and I got real close. I'm like, I got to keep on going at it. But like you said, I'm preparing for my second career right now.
That's it.
The financial aspect.
Yep.
Because some securities, they pay.
Oh, yeah.
They take care of you. So I'm just – We just talking, audience. We just talking about our next move and just trying to build.
Everybody
trying to
should have
you.
A plan B.
Yep, plan B.
Yep.
Because who going to just stop quick, going to quit working? Like, I'm done 30 years. I'm just going to play golf every day. You're going to lose your purpose.
Okay.
You're going to have to serve another purpose, and God put you on this earth.
You might play golf every day, but that's only part of the day. The other part, I'm going to be out here in the community helping, working with people. And it's okay to have aspirations of relaxation. Nothing wrong with it. But like you say, need that purpose in life.
Yep. Well, that's our show for today, Tony.
Yeah, we out of time, man. We had a lot more material to cover.
I know. So we'll continue next week
on
the Attitude.
We got to come do this next week.
Yeah, we got some more for them. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
This is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and financial success with 103.7 The Beat.